Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is the Special Forces Fire Internet Soccer Show pre-game coverage of the final qualifier in this round, the United States hosting Guatemala over at Livestrong Sporting Park in Kansas City, Kansas. Carlos Ruiz wearing his Guatemala warm-up jacket, the Sam's Army celebrating over where the Cauldron celebrates the Kansas City Wizards games, or should I say Sporting Kansas City. I haven't said that name in a long time. Joining me is, of course, my fellow MLS Talk writer, Earl Reed. Earl, this is probably right now the biggest game in front of Jurgen Klinsmann right now in his short tenure as head coach of the U.S. men's national team. A draw will be enough to go ahead, but he says they're going to win.
Yeah, well, I mean, definitely this is a huge match for him. You know, he's gotten a lot of flack here the last, three, four, 5 days, whatever it's been since the Friday night, it's not coming from behind, but basically pulling out the win from what looked to be possibly a draw. And so, like you said, a draw will do it here today in Kansas City. But, if Klinsmann's come out and more or less guaranteed a victory, or then you would hope the team comes out and shows what they can do. This is another litmus test for him. I said it in the article I wrote about the previous game, maybe this is a chance for him to prove that what he has learned so far about the qualifying, system here in CONCACAF. Mm-hmm. Maybe he can prove that he's learned something from that and will actually get this team to perform in the way that they should for a match going up against, we'll say, maybe the third tier of CONCACAF, considering Mexico and U.S. probably first tier, and then Costa Rica, Honduras, and some of the others in that second tier.
Yeah.
Guatemala should definitely be, I would say, in the third tier, and U.S. should comfortably win 1-2, maybe even 3-0 here tonight, so.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you, Earl. I mean, this is one of those moments where you have to say that Klinsmann is going through this is the first time he's going through qualifying in any region, any confederation, because when Germany hosted the World Cup, he was the head coach for Germany, and they never had to qualify at all. It was all friendlies. And, we just have to be a little – I want to go back to that Friday game against Antigua and Barbuda. We understand that the weather conditions were not ideal. It was a complete downpour. Rain came to the island. Obviously, they're playing their game on a cricket stadium, on a cricket field. And, yes, you're going to expect some terrible grass, not completely you would have to say it's not regulation through FIFA, but at least they can play their games there. But still, though, you have to say that, and this is not taking anything away from Antigua and Barbuda, Earl, but, they played well. They played as well as they could, or as they did. But the United States, in my opinion, just did not have what Mexico has. And let's be honest, Mexico has a killer mentality. They know what's in front of them. They know that they have to do a job. And, yeah, they can go down, play these types of teams, and they can actually do the job. The United States, at times, unfortunately, lacks a killer instinct, and that's why I was not impressed in the home win against Antigua when they were at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, Florida. They came away with a 3-1 victory. That should have been 5-1, 6-1. Fine, you allow a goal, but still, 3-1 was not the score line that I drew up.
Yeah, well, I think we talked about it a little bit Friday night. I think the comfort level of the players here, I think they're still getting used to what Jurgen Klinsmann is asking from them. I mean, it's over a year in to his tenure with the national team, but I think you're still seeing where these players aren't quite comfortable with what they're doing. And, you know, it's really difficult to get the best out of what you're doing when you're constantly focused on trying to do what's asked of you by a coach that's maybe asking you to do some things that you aren't as familiar with. I don't know. I agree with you. I don't know if it's just killer instinct. Maybe that's what it is. But I think it's a little bit deeper than that, in that, you know, if you're firing on all cylinders and you feel comfortable and you're playing well with your teammates, those goals come a lot easier than if you're constantly focused on trying to do what you've been asked. I mean, we'll see what happens here tonight. It looks like a very similar lineup to what they threw out there against a couple little changes, but up front pretty similar. So, yeah, it would be nice to see a little bit more of that go-for attitude, that, like you said, killer instinct, especially in the final third, being able to finish off some chances. Looks like Hercules Gomez will get another chance after having a couple of unfortunate touches there in the latter parts of that match. So, I would agree with you. Definitely there needs to be more, we'll say, urgency from this team, and hopefully that's something that Klinsmann can instill in them as, you know, not only for this match, but then for the qualifiers coming up in the hexagonal, assuming they get through.
Exactly, and going to what's going to happen next year, if the U.S. does qualify, Earl, very, very interesting dates. Usually, when it comes to CONCACAF qualifying for the final round, the hexagonal, you usually get the February friendly date to be a qualifying match, and, of course, the August friendly date for the second half. Those dates now are considered friendlies for good. There's going to be four matches in June, back to back to back to back, and then the annual matches in March, September, and October. So here are the dates. March the 22nd, which is a Friday, the 26th, a Tuesday. In June, the 7th, the 11th, the 14th, and the 18th are your dates. And then nothing till September the 6th and the 10th, and then in October the 11th and the 15th. This is very interesting when it comes to the scheduling now, Earl, because majority of these games are going to be played in the month of June, and MLS is going to have to take, once again, another two-week break for the international calendar once again. And I think it's a fabulous thing. I think it's fantastic. And it's going to be a lot of interesting matches going on, depending on who officially qualifies out of A and B.
Well, you also have the Gold Cup going on, like, right after that.
That'll be in July.
I mean, you're going to have a ton of international dates. I would assume you may see two different teams in order to give the players in the qualifiers a chance to get a break. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but it'll be interesting to see how they work that, because, yeah, you're going to have 4 days, and you assume that there's going to be a couple there at the end of May to try and get players ready. You usually see that. This time around, there were actually 3 matches. Maybe they'll cut that back to 2 as friendlies, just as warm-ups. But, yeah, then you've got the Gold Cup coming up. So, yeah, it's going to be a whirlwind tour for these players during the summer. And, a fantastic time for, get a lot of soccer in there and a lot of attention in the year before the World Cup in Brazil.
Absolutely. Let me tell you something. There's going to be a lot of interesting things going on in 2013, not just qualifying for the World Cup, but the biannual Gold Cup tournament that's going to happen in July. And, you know, we got to talk about what's happened earlier today. Group C finished up officially in World Cup qualifying. Let's get to it right now. Honduras, they did a job, and they did it well. They destroyed Canada by a final of 8-1. Carlos Costly with a hat trick. Mario Martinez and Jerry Bengston from the New England Revolution with a brace each. And I'm sorry, Bengston went also with a hat trick along with Costly. Martinez gets a brace. So, you know, Ian Hume for Canada, the only goal tallied in the 76th minute, but you know, we talked about Honduras, how well they've done in the Olympics, and you're thinking it's a scary team right now. I don't think they showed much of that in this round of qualifying, but they came to play and they went and did a job, Earl, 8-1 over Canada, Honduras.
Well, you always figured this was going to be a very difficult match for Canada, especially without Di Rosario. And I mean, Honduras has been one of the second-tier powers in recent years, and you know, you thought Canada had a shot maybe, but you know, you get out there. I saw like it was a 3-0 lead pretty early on for Honduras, and you know, this is the type of game you'd like to see United States pull out when they need it. You know, just a complete annihilation of an opponent. And they have a lot of confidence, like you said, coming out of the Olympics. They played well. Probably should have beaten Brazil. Now they've forcefully went in to the hexagonal. I assume Jamaica. No, not Jamaica. What's the other? Panama is coming out of there, correct?
Panama has officially gone through.
Yes.
They went through because they drew with Honduras on Friday, and they really, you know, even if they did lose their match against Cuba, but that was a 1-1 draw against Cuba down on the island. It just didn't really matter. Panama was going to take that second spot. It was basically Canada's to lose, and they did. Sadly.
Right. I mean, it was going to probably be whichever team came out in that match, I guess, you know, with the 3 points. And mm-hmm. So, unfortunately for Canada, you know, their hopes took a huge shot when Dwayne Di Rosario went down. And so, you know, I think they keep improving. They just can't seem to finish it off, especially when they get pushed into a, you know, it's a tough group. That's not easy. I mean, Panama, you would think, is probably the lesser of those two at the top of that group. And if they're going to overcome one of them, it would have been Panama. But yeah, too bad for Canada that they had, you know, they lost their star. And obviously, D.C. United is going to have to go without them, too. So we're without him.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Absolutely. As we take a look, of course, going on in CONCACAF as well, don't forget. Here's a scenario, Earl, for Group A. Obviously, the U.S. and Guatemala, they're tied on points with 10. The differential is a +3. They have the same record, 3 wins, a draw, and a loss. Obviously, if the USA wins, they go through. If USA and Guatemala tie, both go through. Jamaica, or if the U.S. loses, and if Jamaica wins, it's all depending on what the differential is, because Jamaica will be hosting Antigua over in Kingston. And obviously, Antigua is out, but if Antigua can find a way to draw against Jamaica, then obviously the USA is clearly through because they'll have 2 more points. Right now they're 2 points ahead of Jamaica along with Guatemala. I mean, this is basically for both sides. And Guatemala, I know Guatemala wants to win this. They don't want to be eliminated from the second spot. But knowing Guatemala, they're going to try and draw. They're going to try and actually bunker down, and they're going to go for the draw. And I think for Guatemala, that would be a huge mistake because you got to at least make an attempt to try and win the match if you can. I'm not saying we're here to support Guatemala, but against a team like the U.S., who's always been strong at home, it doesn't matter what stadium it is in Major League Soccer or in a NFL or college stadium, the USA will always be strong at home.
Well, the only thing I will say is Guatemala has the type of game. If you remember back in the Gold Cup here in 2011, they got out on Mexico. Carlos Ruiz is a player who, on the counterattack, is pesky. He is a pest. And, you know, they could play for the draw because they always have that opportunity where, you know, long ball's played to him, he flicks it on, or he gets behind that defense. And the United States is going to have to be careful. The trouble is if you get behind, you know, you just hope this team doesn't have trouble scoring goals. You know, that's where you're you want to see them get out to a lead, and you want to see them be able to continue to try to pile on and get goals on Guatemala, because you don't want to see a player like Carlos Ruiz have a chance to either put in a goal to get ahead or to equalize. I mean, a draw for both teams would put both teams through, so I mean, Guatemala, U.S., both of them would be all right with it. I think the U.S. needs to come out and, you know, wax them. You really need to gain confidence in this match. I think the tough part would be for Jamaica. I mean, Jamaica, if this match draws here in Kansas City, they're out. I mean,
mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably the surprise of qualifying if that happens. I don't think there would be any real. I think you would expect Honduras and Panama to make it into the hex. You probably expect Mexico and Costa Rica. The one that would really be the surprise is Jamaica getting knocked out by Guatemala. And so, you know, if the U.S. puts a hurting on Guatemala, then Jamaica, assuming that they defeat Antigua, then they probably get through, depending on the goal differential. So, you know, there's still plenty of opportunity for Jamaica to make it. But, you know, it depends on whether the U.S. can, you know, get themselves out to a lead and not allow Carlos Ruiz to be the pest, the guy who can, you know, just be the thorn in the side of a team that he's going up against. You know, I had my share of him when he was up with Philadelphia. You know, he's a guy that he can go in and out of games, but he seems to be a pest when it matters, and especially when you're going up against him. When he's on your team, he's not always the best player to have on your team, but it seems like when you're up against him, he just finds a way to create an issue. So that's the way I look at it with Guatemala. I mean, they could play for the draw because they have a guy that can exploit a situation, even if they are bunkered in. So, you know, Jeff Cameron and Carlos Bocanegra are going to have to be prepared for whatever, you know, he's able to do, because he's got deceptive speed and just a knack for getting under people's skin too. That's another issue that he brings. So,
yeah.
And you know what the positive is that Jermaine Jones is suspended for this match, so there's no way we're going to see him. He would be one guy that I would think Carlos Ruiz could try to maybe target with some antics to try to draw something. So. Anyway.
Well, you know, I mean, there was the, joking around, obviously, but someone was saying, or maybe it was you, you're very snarky. I know you're going to probably pull this off, but someone like Jermaine Jones should find, yes, come on now. Jermaine Jones should become like, you know, he should try a Nancy Kerrigan Carlos Ruiz, but, but I don't think
they got to get it right. Yeah, Tonya Harding, actually.
Oh, true. Well,
if you want
it was Tonya Harding.
Jeff Galooly is really who.
Yeah, Jeff Galooly. Well, he Tonya.
Smoked your knee.
Yeah, exactly. Well, don't think that's going to happen. But.
Make sure there are no lead pipes around Jermaine Jones here before the match.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't want to lose him. If you lose him for the hex, you lose him for the hex. But you know, I'm sure there are a lot of players who wouldn't mind getting a quick cheap shot in Carlos Ruiz at one point or another. But
wait a second. Double check here. Is Ricardo actually in the lineup? No, darn it, he's not. Do you remember? Did you see what happened when Ruiz was playing for Dallas and Ricardo Clark was playing for Houston?
No, I can only imagine.
Well, what happened was. Well, just to let you know, Ruiz made a bad tackle on Rico, and Rico let him have it.
Yeah, well, that's good. I mean, that's really what it's all about, you know?
Yeah, I know. I mean, I guess it's like all the pent-up frustrations of, not having, all the antics that Ruiz does to annoy you, even though he can't score a fantastic goal. And, you know, but Carlos Ruiz, he's still dangerous. I don't care how old he is. You know, if he can still go out there, he can still poke the ball in the back of the net. You know, that's all you need. And, you know, not just in a league match, but a national team match. Try to get on Mark Fishkin. He's a Seeing Red podcast on the New York Red Bulls. He is in Livestrong Sporting Park to get the atmosphere. There's no way he's calling in now. He said the atmosphere is so loud. Over in the supporter section, forget it. It's he can't make the phone call, but that's okay. Mark, thanks for trying anyway. But it's just once again, it's just interesting what's going to happen here tonight. Once again, a win, and automatically they go through. And Guatemala is hoping and praying that Jamaica doesn't do anything against Antigua. If it's a draw, U.S. and Guatemala advances. But if the U.S. loses, they have to hope that Jamaica that Jamaica has 10 points, but not enough goals to pass them. So then maybe I think there's more scenarios coming through there that we have to take a look at if the U.S. does or does not advance from the top two spots in the semifinal round. Many people, Earl, are talking, talking about the TIFO of Clint Dempsey's head when he made that scrunchy face incident against Jamaica on 9/11 after a tackle. And that's been put back out there. That's just too funny to say.
We call that the Feuerstein face, so just so you know.
Oh, no. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe that. Oh, there's Carlos.
Like, I just someone's got to take a picture first.
Anyway. Yeah, but, yeah. Yeah, I guess that's now like the inspirational, motivational picture for like the American Outlaws now is the, Dempsey's mugshot there of the, whatever that thing is called, sassy face or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm sure it scared few on Jamaica, but whatever can rile up the crowd, I guess that's, it's about attitude. Right now the U.S. could use some attitude, I think, as far as, just getting prepared and getting ready to go.
Absolutely agree with you. And, of course, the final matches in this round of qualifying from CONCACAF, as we said before, some of these matches are at the same time. Obviously, Jamaica and Antigua Barbuda will also play 15 minutes after 7 o'clock Eastern time. At 9 o'clock, Mexico hosting El Salvador, Costa Rica hosting Guyana. And, let's talk about Group B. We already know that Mexico has advanced after 4 games of 6. Easily, Guyana, amazing that they held Mexico scoreless, but Mexico obviously doing it to themselves. And, here's the question right now. Costa Rica, 7 points. El Salvador, 5 points. Who, in your mind, Earl, has the better gateway to get that second spot?
I would imagine Costa Rica. Mexico obviously doesn't really have anything to play for except pride tonight. But, I think Costa Rica really is going to be up for this, and I can't see them, letting Guyana hang around and do anything to them in this match. I think Costa Rica will get through, and unfortunately for El Salvador, it's just I think that's just the way it is. I think Costa Rica's the second best team in that group, and I think that'll be clear after they beat Guyana tonight. So mm-hmm. You can only have 6 advance, so it's the downside of having the hexagonal is that you don't get a chance to have more than just the 2 teams in each group get out of there. So, I don't know if you figure the same thing as far as that group goes. Do you think El Salvador
has a chance? I would probably agree with you. No, I don't think El Salvador has a chance. I think Mexico is going to take them out. But I do agree with you. I think Costa Rica will take that second spot unless something screwy happens, which I don't expect it to be that difficult for Costa Rica. Against Guyana, but I'll agree with you. I believe that you'll see Mexico and Costa Rica being the 2 teams getting out of Group B. Hopefully for the U.S. that they don't take Guatemala lightly and that they will go out there and they will, do what they got to do. They got to do a job, and hopefully they'll do it well. Obviously, Honduras and Panama have advanced. Let me ask you this. I'm talking about Canada. I've talked with Ben Knight of Onward Soccer. Remember the Canadian soccer news people up there? Of course, it's called Football Soccer Show up in Canada. Once again, you hear it. I talked to him before coming on the air. To him, it was the same old Canada. It was a big game for them that they were hoping that maybe they would stand up to Honduras. And unfortunately, they just couldn't get the job done. And as soon as they allowed that first goal, it sounded like they were already out of the game, even though they weren't out of the game, but it sounded like mentally they were.
Yeah. Well, they're probably going up against a team that's in a different – now I don't want to sound harsh and make it sound like they're a different class, but I do think that Honduras is, one of the top – definitely one of the top 4 teams in CONCACAF. So, to see that happen, it's unfortunate, but – you know, you had a feeling that Honduras was probably going to find a win. Maybe you didn't expect it to end up being as ugly as it was. And so, yeah, I don't know. It's tough when you get in those situations and you have all that adrenaline rush, and then all of a sudden it gets snuffed out by just the harsh reality that you're just not as good. And that's, I think, what happened to Canada, especially not having your best player. And you know, without your best player, it's always going to be a struggle. You got to hope that it's a low scoring affair, and that was not a low scoring affair by any stretch.
Absolutely. You want to talk about not a low-scoring affair? Let's go to what happened this afternoon, or shall we say this evening in European time, between Germany and Sweden. The Germans leading 4-0. Miroslav Klose with a brace in the 8th and the 15th. Per Mertesacker in the 39th. Mesut Ozil in the 56th. 4-0 Germany. And then all of a sudden, here comes Sweden. Zlatan Ibrahimovic in the 62nd minute. He's doing well for PSG in French League One. Mikael Lustig in the 64th. Johan Elmander in the 76th. And in second half stoppage time, in the third minute of second half stoppage time, Rasmus Elm with the late comebacker doing this all in Berlin. That is unbelievable what's going on in Europe in some of these qualifiers, especially, you know, Sweden showing the Republic of Ireland how they are not going to, you know, take being down by a lot against Germany lightly when Germany basically takes out the Irish.
Yeah, well, I mean, and you know, Germany, they had a bit of a letdown in the Euro tournament. So, you know, this is just another, you know, speaking of Jurgen Klinsmann's countrymen, another case where Germany had a letdown, and I mean, this is huge. You definitely don't see that every day where a team just gets, you know, Jekyll and Hyde performance, you know, good first portion of the match. Actually, you saw it a couple years ago, Arsenal versus, I think, Newcastle United, where I think Arsenal got out to a 4-0 lead, and Newcastle came back. But, yeah, I mean, in Sweden, you can't sleep on them. They're a good team. They have some great players. Like you said, you listed, you know, Ibrahimovic. Elmander's kind of – I think is he in Turkey now or the Greek league? I forget which. But, you know, they're not a team that you can just take lightly. They have a lot of good players, and it's I don't know. That's kind of been Germany's thing here recently, coming up small when they really need a big result. And, you know, that's – a big point for Sweden on the road, that's for sure.
Yeah, very, very true. And, of course, talking about the defending World Cup champions in Spain, they had a one-goal lead, I believe it was in the 25th minute by Sergio Ramos. They had a penalty, Spain, and also in the first half, and that was a save by Hugo Lloris. Of course, he's over with Tottenham at the moment in the Premiership. And isn't it funny, Olivier Giroud in the fourth minute of four of second half stoppage time, he puts a header on a nice cross, I believe it was from Franck Ribery, and he just puts it inside the far post to get the late equalizer and stealing a point in Madrid.
Yeah, definitely some interesting results over in Europe today. Yeah, big matches too. I mean, that's a pretty good matchup right there, Spain and France. Interesting you get those in the qualifiers, but a good result for France too. I mean, that's you know, what they need is points on the road, and it's good to see Giroud get on the score sheet for them.
Absolutely, and hopefully that'll kickstart his Arsenal career, being transferred over from Montpellier. Of course, they're the defending Ligue 1 champions over in France. But you know, ladies and gentlemen, very soon, you're probably watching already on ESPN2, the United States, they're hosting Guatemala. This is the final qualifier round in this stage. Once again, a win, they're automatically in. A draw, both teams are in. And Jamaica, if it's a loss, you have to hope and pray Jamaica doesn't score a lot and doesn't get a win. A draw, And they advance the U.S. In the Jamaica match. And if Jamaica wins, you have to hope it's not a lot of goals being scored. Join us at 9 o'clock Eastern with Earl Reed. This is Daniel Feuerstein. Enjoy the game. Let's go USA, and let's see them get to the hexagonal. Have a good evening. Enjoy the match, everybody. Have a good night.